Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. The program is Bookshelf, broadcasting from RIB English Radio, Iran, and we offer our warmest greeting to all the avid book readers. The first believer in Muhammad is a woman. She's also a hero in Islamic history, the lady who gave peace and tranquility to the Prophet, supported Islam when almost nobody else did, sacrificed all she had, including her wealth, for the message. We're all indebted to her, and yet so little is said of such a great lady, although she had such a central role in the first years of the Prophet's mission. The way most people describe Khadija is a caring wife for the Prophet, but she was much more than that. In the words of today's book, Khadija literally lived and died for Islam. Islam owes Khadija an unpayable debt. For ladies, Khadija is the guardian of the secret of winning the pleasure of Allah, and she is the custodian of the key that will unlock for them the gates of success in the two worlds. She would be glad to share the secret with you if you want to know what it is, and she would be glad to put the key in your hands if you will seek it from her. Today's book is on the biography of Lady Khadija. You're tuned back to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and this is Bookshelf. We were talking about how the life of Lady Khadija, the Prophet's wife, is a great example for us, especially for ladies, to live by. The author called her success a secret that she has shared by example. Khadija al-Kubra, a short story of her life by Sayyid Ali Asghar Razwi and published by Tahrik-e-Tarsil al-Quran, is a short story of Lady Khadija's life, her family tree, her marriage to the Prophet, her generosity, status, and her role in the events of early Islamic history. Tahrik-e-Tarsil al-Quran is a publication with 30 years of experience. They donate books to prisons, government officials, and Islamic institutions, and the proceeds of their sales goes to printing even more books. The book comes in 118 pages and 21 chapters, including Mecca in the 6th century, early life of Lady Khadija, Muhammad Mustafa, the marriage, the eve of the proclamation of Islam, the proclamation of Islam, the persecution of the Muslims, the two migrations, Hamza accepts Islam, Omar's conversion to Islam, the siege of Beni Hashim, the death, the mother of believers, the perfect woman, generosity, Khadija and Muhammad, Khadija and her co-wives, Khadija and Aisha, Khadija and Islam, Khadija and Muslim historians. And the final chapter is an epilogue on Lady Khadija. We're going to be back to read excerpts from this book shortly, so stay tuned.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Bookshelf. We're reading the book Khadijatul Kubra, a short story of her life, which you can download from al-islam.org. Before I start reading an excerpt, to give you some background first, the Prophet was cornered in what is famously known as the Shi'b, where he and his people were cut from wealth, food, and even water. Thirst and hunger were a constant trouble in the Shi'b. Khadija spent all her wealth to support the Shi'b, one of which was buying water. All right, now let's turn to page 76 from chapter 11, The Siege of Bani Hashim. In 3 years of exile, Khadija's vast fortune ran out. She had spent most of it on buying water. She was happy that her wealth was the means through which Allah had saved the most precious lives in all creation, the lives of Muhammad Mustafa and his Ahlul Bayt. And she was grateful to him for bestowing this honor upon her. In the midst of the convulsions and upheaval all around her, Khadija's faith remained a constant, and it remained a source of unfailing strength to her and to those around her. Her faith was sustained by prayer, as noted before. Khadija's faith was something almost visible and tangible. She was constantly in touch with Allah, the source of faith, through prayer. Prayer was also the secret of her quiet courage. Her tranquil manner and her serene presence didn't let the morale of the tribe languish at any time during the siege. She was an anchor for the whole tribe in all the years of turbulence and tribulation. At the beginning of the siege, the pagans had felt confident that they had at last cornered Islam and that it was at their mercy. Their efforts to obliterate Islam were not half-hearted or sporadic, and they had left nothing to chance. They dangled the specter of starvation before the besieged clans. They had assumed that in the face of the two scourges of constant hunger and thirst and a constant state of subjective alarm, the resistance of the besieged clans would break down and they would be compelled to surrender Muhammad to them, the pagans. Without a doubt, human endurance has its limits, and interminable hunger and thirst can break a man's spirit no matter how heroic he may be. But the pagans didn't know that the faith of the Bani Hashim in Allah and their loyalty to Muhammad were stronger than the fear of the hunger and thirst, and were in fact stronger than the fear of death itself. There were 400 men, women, and children in the Shi'b Abu Talib. They were sharing with Muhammad and Khadija the experience of living in exile, and no one out of them ever became a deserter, either to save his life or to gratify the pangs of hunger and thirst, or to escape from the extremes of heat and cold, or to escape from the confinement without end. They had no way of knowing how and when, if ever, the siege would end, and if they would ever return to their homes. Days in exile passed into weeks, weeks into months, and months into years. There was absolutely nothing to sustain hope, and yet hope was one thing that sustained them from beginning to end. It appears that the collective but unspoken resolution of the heroic 400 was to sink or swim with Muhammad. They would rather be prisoners with Muhammad than be free citizens without him. For them, life without Muhammad was not worth living at all. Abu Talib and the other members of the Bani Hashim and Bani al-Muttalib considered the siege as a test of their love for Muhammad. Alright, that's all the time we have, but as you can see, this book has some very, very nice information on the whole event. If you missed our program, we were talking about Khadijatul Kubra, a short story of her life, which you can download from al-islam.org. If you missed our program, you can always download an archive from our website simply by searching IRIB English Radio Bookshelf. Until next week and another book, have nice readings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.